fellow fiends. Welcome to another terrifying and delectable episode of Nightmare on Film Street. The horror podcast with zero credibility, but all of the blood, ghouls, and gore your puny heart can handle. Let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And today we are talking about some crazy computers.
Some pretty overzealous 80s computers.
Yeah, some...
Perfectly cromulent computers.
Perfectly cromulent killer computer chips. I'm trying to find more alliteration. It's not coming. I'm like, murderous mainframes.
That was good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I don't know what a mainframe is, though.
I think it's actually a mainframe, not mainframe. It should be called murderous mainframe. You got a killer computer movie and you want to call it mainframe? I'm down.
Like, enter the mainframe? Mame?
Starring Bruce Lee.
There's a virus and only he can kick its butt.
Oh, those movies sound great. But today we are talking about two 80s cheeseball classics. Chopping Mall and Death Spa.
Yes, two films with computers in which I don't think anybody involved in the production understood what a computer does.
It was a glorious decade.
It was a glorious decade.
Kim has been really lobbying for Death Spa on this podcast for, I think since day one.
I've been championing Death Spa. And Chopping Mall was the inevitable.
It's gonna happen no matter what.
Exactly. And I think Death Spa and Chopping Mall are the perfect pair. They're also side-by-side in Amazon Prime, if you haven't seen them recently.
Yeah, alphabetically and probably just categorized by cheese.
Like, these ones you will watch together. If you watch one, you're definitely going to watch the other, you sad sack.
Yeah, there's no way you watch Death Spa and it's not, like, recommended for dummies like you, Chopping Mall. But either way, before we get started, Kim, what's keeping you creepy this week?
Well, this week, when we are at the time of recording, we're not, but when you're listening to this, we will be deep into Fantastic Festival in Austin, Texas, where we will be watching a whole bunch of genre and horror films. So you can check out a ton of reviews over at nofspodcast.com. John and myself will be writing up a storm with those and watching tons of movies and probably getting very little sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be fun.
It's okay. We got... tons of tacos. Looking forward to it. What movie are you looking forward to the most?
There's a found footage-ish type movie. Unfortunately, you've been doing all the schedules, so what is it called, John?
It's called Feral.
And I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, it's like the Poughkeepsie Tapes. It's a faux documentary style investigation that also involves some found footage about this really creepy house in the woods where these kids either went missing or got hurt. I don't know. We try and go in a little vague, but at least get an idea what's what. What am I looking forward to the most? Probably In Fabric, which is a movie by Peter Strickland, who you may know from the Berberian Sound Studio. Did I mention this in the last episode?
I don't know.
Okay, well, either way, I know nothing about it, but I'm very excited to see what he does, because he's a very strange filmmaker.
Yeah, and there's also some, like, bigger titles there. There's Hold the Dark, which is a new Netflix film hitting the old streaming platform, and that is from...
Jeremy Saulnier, I think it's how it's pronounced, the director of Green Room.
Yes, and then Bad Times at the El Royale from Drew Goddard, who you know from Cabin in the Woods.
Gaspar Noé's Climax.
Which I've heard some crazy things, but I mean, it is Gaspar Noé, so like I'm expecting it's going to be really cerebral and a little upsetting.
Yep.
And definitely don't eat anything beforehand.
Yeah, it's playing at midnight too, so it's how we're really ending the day. That's going to make for some fun dream times. And Overlord would probably be the last big one.
Oh yeah!
Very excited.
I'm so excited. I'm hoping there is a slightly sci-fi element to it, because I know that there were a lot of rumors about it being part of the Cloverfield universe and that it wasn't part of the Cloverfield universe. So I'm hoping there are still some potential, like, I don't know, off-the-walliness to it. Yeah. I love the grindhouse-y look and feel that it has, so I'd be perfectly fine if it doesn't, but the little cherry on the top would be, oh, by the way, there's fucking aliens.
That'd be so cool. A zombie movie with an alien attack?
I'm about that.
I'm down with that.
I'm so about that, yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. So by the time this episode comes out, everyone should already know what it is, but there's a secret screening midweek. What do you think is playing at that secret screening?
I feel like
I'm interviewing right now, like on the
you.
Charlie Rose show.
Yeah,
by the way, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah. It's been a real experience.
We've tried really hard to get you on. It's been a while now. You know, unfortunately, schedules weren't working out, but
yeah, this microphone seems to be like at my perfect height as well. So thank you for anticipating that. I really want it to be Suspiria.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really want it to be Suspiria, mainly because I really, really, really want to see Suspiria.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's going to be The House That Jack Built.
Either of those movies would be great. If in the course of 48 hours, we would see a movie from Gaspar Noé and a movie from Lars von Trier. That sounds like a sweet...
John, that sounds so pretentious. Like, I know the names that you're saying, but just...
Okay.
It just sounds really
okay.
pretentious.
If we could see
I wish I could see all of these films from these filmmakers. Mind you, it's about, like, these are probably going to be films filled with, like, shit and vomit.
Yeah. Why is that the pretentious choice?
I don't know.
Yeah. Art. Ugh. One last thing before we go. We got to see Mandy recently.
Yeah, we just caught it the opening weekend. It finally hit theaters. It's also now out on VOD.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, it should be available on a VOD platform in your country, I hope. It seems like
I think it's hitting the UK later this month.
Oh, awesome. Look out
or
for that,
next
guys.
Next month, yeah.
What a crazy movie. Totally worth the wait. It was a little more acid trippy than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, like even like with expectations that the trailer gave me, it still surprised me.
Yeah.
As like how surreal it got.
Very surreal. The color palette of this movie also includes LSD. Like that's the easiest way that I could describe it.
Crayola LSD.
So crazy.
Yeah, and I have never seen Nick Cage at level 10 Nick Cage belong so well in a film.
Yeah, you've definitely seen it before.
Yeah, I've seen level 10 Nick Cage before, but it's almost like in this film he's never been level 10 Nick Cage before.
Yeah.
And it so belongs in this movie. Like, this movie was built around the insanity that Nick Cage can provide.
Yeah. There's this particular scene in a bathroom with just like a full bottle of vodka. And it is so great because it is so over the top and you're laughing and you're kind of snickering at it a little bit. And then all of a sudden you're really sad.
I like almost had a cry in that scene.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're on this weird roller coaster of emotions. And of course he is because of what's transpired in the film.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're really emoting alongside with him because like he's being silly and then you're laughing and he's drinking too much and you're laughing and then he's really crushed and you're also very crushed.
Yeah. Like it's almost a joke. It's way over the top. It's cartoonish. And then you realize, like, oh, this is actually probably very true to how a real person would be reacting to what's happening to him. It's crazy. And it's good to know that everybody involved, especially Nick Cage, has been getting a lot of credit for their performances and their roles in this movie. Because it is super impressive across the board. And, like, such a killer score, too. Either way, 4 out of 4 Eberts, I think. What about yourself?
I have to rewatch it, but I'm going to say 3 out of 4, I think, right now.
Yeah? Okay. I mean, I think I'm just still very excited. It was pretty great.
It looked very cool.
But either way, let's get into the episode. Let's talk about Chopping Mall.
They broke into the mall for the wildest all-night party of their lives.
It's dead meat.
But you're never alone in the Chopping Mall.
What's that?
Robot blood. Chopping Mall, where shopping costs you an arm and a leg.
So, Chopping Mall from 1986 is currently sitting at a 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb, a 57% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
That seems kind of high.
Well, I mean, all of these ratings are definitely after the fact. So it's people giving it the, like, oh, so bad, it's so good, thumbs up rating.
I will say that both of these movies that we're going to talk about today are maybe the best terrible movies that have ever existed.
They're pretty close. I have a hard time with the so bad it's good subgenre. Because for the first, like, two acts, I'm so on board. I'm like, yes, this is great. This is awful. I love it. And then I get bogged down. I'm like, oh, I'm just watching a bad movie. And then I'm bored. And then we get to the end. And the end is always an extravaganza of just extreme absurdity.
Yeah, but there's something really fun about having to play detective with the movie you're watching, because you're like, wait a minute, she's a ghost, but like, nobody told me that, and like, you guys really, where do we introduce this character, or like, you know what I mean? It's that's not specific to Chopping Mall, because Chopping Mall does not have a ghost. I'm particularly talking about Death Spa and how there are ghostly elements, but there's no linear point A to point B in regular storytelling. And like, well-crafted films, you have an ability to like convey everything you're trying to convey, what type of characters we're watching, what the motives of the baddie of the film is. And with these really bad B movies, you are missing chunks of those steps. So like, you just advance in the story without kind of hitting all those points you should. Like, how did these people get together? Why are these four people in this room together? This one person was on the other side of the mall. Like, that kind of stuff happens a bunch. And I think that's where I really enjoy B-movies, because you kind of just have to, like, turn off that part of your brain that's like, this doesn't work, or this doesn't make sense, or you guys failed to do this. And then you just have to just fucking enjoy it regardless.
I mean, you're right. B-movies, they don't care about the why. There's like, nobody's here for the why. They just want to see how something explodes and when somebody dies. They don't care about how person got from point A to point B. That's a good point. I'm with you on that one, because I think it's hard to complain about these movies at all, because yeah, nobody came here for why. Everybody came here for some, like, good old fun. I want to see lasers blow somebody's head up, and I want to see robots riding up escalators.
But there's the illusion of why. Like, there's all these Home Alone-esque plots set up in Chopping Mall where there is a lot of non-B-movie attempts. They do a lot of stunts, and there's some blowing up things, and for some reason we're rigging an elevator to kill a robot. I don't know why the elevator, but you know what happens.
It's so funny you mentioned Home Alone, because there's a huge sequence with paint.
Yeah, there is. That's exactly why I said it, because that paint can sequence.
Oh, man. So, okay, before we get started, one question I want to ask you before we get into anything. Do the robots become sentient and they want to kill people? Or are they just gone haywire and they recognize everybody as a threat?
So, there is no explanation as to why the robots have started murdering people.
No.
They...
lightning. That's the reason.
Well, yeah, thunderstorm. There's a thunderstorm, guys. I don't know if you know, but we really, really hung on that thunderstorm.
Is there a computer-based or robot-based movie in the 80s that didn't start with, oh, lightning?
It is lightning.
Like, electricity is the enemy.
Yeah, we don't really know how the computers work, so we're gonna assume that electricity will ruin everything.
Yeah.
Which isn't wrong. I mean, I don't know anything about computers, but when there's a thunderstorm, I unplug
your laptop. Yeah.
And I don't know why. And then my dad's
laptop,
like,
phone,
you
TV.
Should get a surge predictor. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
It's just another thing that you plug stuff into.
How does it save you against lightning?
I have a feeling that it, instead of blowing up your computer, blows up the surge protector.
What?
I think it's like, you know how like you plug too many things into an outlet and then the switch flips and then you gotta go downstairs and you gotta find the breaker panel and you gotta flip that switch. I kind of think that's what the surge protector does, but instead you have to buy a new surge protector. It's like the 21st century of a fuse. Like, oh, the fuse blew, gotta buy some new fuses. Like, you gotta buy a new surge protector.
Okay, so the robots are evil.
Yeah.
And we don't know why.
They were not plugged into a surge protector.
So the weirdest thing about that, though, is even though the robots are evil, they have this guise on that they're still behaving regularly. They're still putting on a front because every time they come upon a human being, they ask for their identity card.
Where is your identity card?
Yeah, and they show them and they kill them anyways. So these robots are sentient to the level that they are putting on a front. These robots are pretending to be good protector robots like they're supposed to be, and they're just gonna kill them anyways. That makes them so much more evil.
I love that you say that too, because they are putting on that presentation with no one around. They'll come into the mall, they're like, robot 2 online, level
online.
2. Who are they reporting to?
Yeah, they killed the guy.
Robot. Yeah,
they killed him. They killed the guy.
So the robot technician is probably his death, one of my favorites, because he's the only body that they hide.
They hide him.
We don't even see where. It's just the other technician shows up like, oh, Dale's not here? All right, fine.
I would have paid good money just for a quick cut of a robot with his little clam hand.
Yep.
Like, dragging a corpse out of the room.
Well, they also hide what's his dumb face.
They don't hide him. They, like, stage him.
Okay, so that's the thing. Like, there is a... These robots have been watching slasher movies. Like, there's no way that the security guard...
I'm really
guard...
proud of these robots.
These robots have an understanding of the genre that some filmmakers don't.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's good. Oh, man. We do, before we get into, like, too deep into the robots, though, we have to talk about the introduction sequence.
Okay.
How they have, like, a robot parade presentation.
Like, the robot orientation. I like parade.
Yeah, like,
I think that's better.
At 1 p.m. and 3 p.m., we will be doing the robot protector introduction in the atrium.
Are any of our main characters at that orientation?
No.
Because two of them are definitely business owners.
Oh, yeah.
And they should have been there.
Yeah, or what's-her-name's dad should have been there. Was he there?
Oh, the slut-shaming dad?
Oh, my God. No, but it wasn't even slut-shaming. It was just like, I know you guys are having sex, but I'm just gonna dad out of the room. That scene was really uncomfortable, though. They were both being really slutty.
Well, yeah, and also, I don't... Dude bro, Greg, I'm gonna call him Greg, has...
It is Greg.
Is it actually...
No, it's not Greg. No, it's
close.
Mike and Leslie.
Mike has a problem with chewing his gum way too goddamn loud.
Oh my God, he chews it the whole...
Okay, I think that's the only reason he died first in the movie. Because that guy's gotta go. I won't put up with that for 90 minutes.
And they were the most sexually forward of the quadruplets. Yeah, they totally were.
Every single person in this movie, with the exception of Ferdy and Allison, were having sex 4 feet away from each other. Every single person.
Yeah, it was basically like a Sears orgy.
It was. I can see how, like, if you live at home and you got nowhere to go and the boss is out of town, how this would seem like a really good idea. You break into the mall late after closing, you sell a bunch of beds, you change the sheets, they said, and then just have sex in the place like it's a big...
Okay, so great, disgusting theory. I don't agree with it.
It started to fall apart. Like, I couldn't justify it.
So it also happens to be the first night that there's these, like, robot patrollers, and the metal doors are going to close at midnight.
Okay.
Let's have a party. Gotta get out of here at midnight because the metal doors will shut her down.
Yeah, but at every turn, like, hey, why don't we just stay a little late? No big deal, right? Like, let's just stay.
I have an idea. Let's just invite the nerd and he can bug us and rein us all to the doors before they close.
Is that the only reason he was there? So that he is essentially their alarm clock for getting the fuck out?
I think it's because they wanted to fuck in his store and he was like, no!
Yeah. No, he's there because if he's part of the plan, then he's also got to keep it a secret. Otherwise, he'll also get in trouble. Do you think those shutters were installed before the robots?
I think it's all the same, like, program.
You think it's all part of, like,
yeah,
the same,
like,
package?
They went to Robots R Us and they're like, I would like the super duper evil robot shutter door package, please.
Do you even need the goddamn robots if you have the metal shuttered doors?
Well, you need to shutter the doors so that the evil robots can corral people and murder them in the halls.
Oh.
Otherwise, you just have people in the halls until 6 a.m. and then they're just let out. The robots need to murder them for you.
Okay. So it's all just to make murder easier. I love that day one these things fucked up. It wasn't even like, oh, they've been in, you know, we all trust them. They've been around for a year. Good old Robo 2, big friend of mine, helped me out a few times, saved me lots of money. No, day one, they're fucking murderers.
But there's no explanation. Like, there's no scene where one of the robots gets hit by lightning or like turns on.
But don't
on
they like doesn't sentient. Like lightning hit the building and then like the lightning goes through the building into the wires into the robots? Isn't that
does
like
does that happen?
I actually don't know. I think we're just supposed
to made that up.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. This movie does not care with how it is or why. It just simply goes to what's going on.
Okay, introduction. There are robots. Obviously they're evil.
Yeah, we're going to add a bunch of lightning in post. No rain. No big deal.
I will say that for a film called Chopping Mall, yeah. there was no chopping. It was all lasers.
Laser Mall.
Laser Mall.
Well, when the movie originally came out, it was not called Chopping Mall. I don't know if you read this on Wikipedia.
Killbots.
Yeah, exactly. It was called Killbots. No, it wasn't even Killbots.
It was Killbots.
Well, that's how it was released to the theater. But like the working title, I think, was just like Bots. Like it wasn't, and they're like, ooh, not good enough.
Future Kill Mall bots. Death Teens.
I would watch Future Mall Death Teens.
I would too.
Or Future Mall 2000, Death Teens 2000.
Death Mall Teens, Death Teens Mall. Death to Mall Teens?
Buzzwords 2000. And then at the insistence of a janitor, who, whatever, I don't care what your occupation is, guy had a great idea, let's re-release it into the theater as Chopping Mall.
The janitor had that idea?
Apparently a janitor,
yeah. The janitor from the movie or like a real life janitor?
It just said a janitor. I'm going to assume janitor at the production
like
office?
The actor who became a janitor? Or like
you mean
the
Dick
actor
Miller?
Who played a janitor?
That would be awful if it actually was Dick Miller and in Wikipedia they're like, oh, a janitor said to put out his Chopping Mall.
Oh. The janitors were a little weird in this movie, too, because they made fun of the one janitor who was doing his job. And then they were walking around at, like, 2 a.m. in the mall, drinking.
Sounds like middle-class alcoholism. Make fun of the one guy who's actually doing work. I was
at work, though. Where did they get those beers? All the stores were closed. Mind you, this mall made no sense, because when the girls, after they finished their restaurant shift at mm-hmm. the old mall restaurant...
Yeah, Italian pizza joint.
No, it was like a diner, but it was in the mall. Like, it was a really weird style of restaurant for a mall. But either way, they finished their shift, and they were talking about the sweet old party they were going to tonight.
Yeah.
In the mall. Mm-hmm. And there were showers and, like, a locker room. Like, all the mall employees have their own behind-the-scenes before their shift... locker room.
What if that's a thing, though?
Like
have
out-
you ever had a
I
job
worked
at, a mall-
at several malls, John.
Have you?
Yes.
Where?
I've worked at so many malls.
Doing what?
I worked at the Old Navy in the Gap.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In the mall.
And what was your locker room change shower situation like?
Zero. There was zero opportunity for locker room showers.
Okay.
There was a locker, but it was like next to the store's bathroom in the store. And I just share it with someone. Fucking sucked.
Oh, that's great. The only thing that makes me think that this is actually a thing, that, I mean, first of all, it's the 80s. And that's just an excuse that you can give to absolutely everything.
We need boobs. Have them shower.
Sure.
Ba-doom-ching. So we haven't mentioned
mm-hmm.
that Barbara Crampton is in this.
Yeah.
And she's playing one of the middle tier couples. Like, they're everybody's a couple in this. Everybody. There's four couples.
It was just like a, I don't want to call it a swingers party, but it was like a let's all...
It's a party, but we're here to bone.
Yeah, like what do you call those? Orgies? I don't know.
Yeah, because there's the mechanic couple who have mm-hmm. this really weird introduction in the beginning where it's lightning out, guys. I don't know if you remember, but it's lightning out.
Gotta
and
try that, huh?
They are in their cool like M&J's towing.
Yeah.
And they have like this whole banter back and forth about being married, just so we know that they're married and they have their own towing company.
Why does that matter?
Them being in a company came up like a bunch. And I was, as an entrepreneur myself, I really appreciated being able to see a representation of myself on the screen.
Okay. I may have laughed too soon on that one. It sounded insulting, but I was wondering where you were going.
It was just a little excessive.
It was. Do they have a shop in the mall, right?
I don't think they have anything to do with the mall.
You don't think so?
Why would you have a towing company in the mall?
I don't think it's a towing company. I think
they
it's
were
just
in a tow truck.
Well, I think it's a garage. I mean, if somebody's like, hey, my car's broken down, can you tow it to your shop? You're like, yeah, fuck, I will do that. Yeah, of course.
I mean, putting an automotive center in a mall is a really good idea because most times you're just like waiting there for hours. And then when you're at the Canadian Tire, the Canadian version of whatever you guys have.
A hardware store.
You are like, oh, what can I look at? More fucking tires. Like, I don't want to spend money on tires, but if you go to, like, the Walmart's auto center, you can go to Walmart and buy DVDs. If you go to the mall, you can buy clothes. Very smart.
There's a garage at our mall.
Is there?
Yeah. So that way people can get oil changes while they shop.
It's pretty smart.
It is all right, yeah. I guess you could probably get a car
maybe
wash
they do
while
work
there,
at
too.
The mall. Maybe they do. Who knows?
I guess assumed that automotive store that they broke into was theirs. And
they
it was
broke
no big
into,
deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were getting all that gasoline. Yeah, they were getting the
I
flares.
I thought it was a camp store. I was like, why is there just gas
on
this
show? You kept saying
show?
That while we were watching. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure it's their automotive store. That's why she knows where everything is, what to get, and how much they have of it.
Only camping supplies.
They're way too focused on their business. And
I'm
not saying
I liked it. It was just really weird to designate that much time outside of the mall to these characters that end up dying anyways.
Yeah.
They die.
And
second last, like, good for them. They made it to the second last. Well, actually, they were, like, the last people to die, but they were the second last couple. Like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They didn't make it out.
No.
But they put in a good fight.
They do not seem like they would be friends with any of these people. They are years ahead of their friends.
I was like, okay, so you guys are married and you have your own business. So you are immediately minimum 30. Your name is on the side of the truck.
I gotta assume.
Like, bitch, I'm 30 and I can't put my name on the side of my truck. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. I don't know that a party in the mall after hours where we can all finally, find a place to have sex without being interrupted by our parents is a thing that they would give a shit about. What did they bring to the party?
Like, yeah, they were like, hey guys, we have a three-story house, you know. It's
three-story house?
It's semi-detached, but, you know, we have a lot of privacy and we have a dog, so why don't you guys just come there and you guys can, like, all fuck on a different floor.
And in the morning, we'll all make fun of you for fucking in our house.
We have tater tots. So
guys,
you guys
can
know,
you please
that's...
chip in for the pizza? Honestly.
That's what real married life is. It's just having tater tots in your freezer on demand.
We don't have tater tots in our freezer.
It's because John says no.
That's because you demanded it and I said no.
I always try to like round about to the French fry freezer and John's like, no! And I'm like, what if they're on sale? It's like having alcohol. Like, as you're an adult, you're allowed to have these things on hand should you need them. Like, extra vodka. Like, oh, we just have several bottles of vodka here because we buy 2 6 and then we drink it in 1 weekend. No! We're adults. We can have French fries and rum and tequila on call.
Yeah, but there's one thing about having all that stuff on hand is that no matter what, you're always gonna have it. You and I are on different sides of the spectrum. But
also, are we? We really were.
Well, as you were saying earlier, yeah, I do appreciate that they are obsessed with their own business because nobody's going to give a shit about your endeavors as much as you do. But I don't think that they need to be focusing on how much damage they're doing on the mall and assuming that is their own problem.
That upset me more than anything.
Yeah.
I stopped taking notes at one point because I was just watching the movie. And then when she was like, when they were in the diner having their little quiet away from the robots moment.
Just putting a little calculator.
She was like, okay, we're in debt $2 million and blah, 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 to the mall. And you're like,
he's loading shells into a shotgun. Like, how many tune-ups is that?
What are you talking about? Robots tried to kill you. Robots that were hired by the mall.
You're rich now.
You have a civil rights lawsuit. Okay, like, they murdered your friends.
Yeah, the best thing you could do after you see that two of your friends are dead is go somewhere safe. Maybe those air ducts. I don't know. Hide out until morning.
Mall opens. You go right to a lawyer.
I mean, tragically, sure, the janitor might get killed, but like the first janitor that shows up to unlock those doors probably also gonna get a laser in the face. But
so those lasers were really hit or miss on what they actually did. There was one
right?
shot. So when the first girl died, Leslie. Yeah. So she was going to find Mike.
Oh man, this is bad.
Who was at the cigarette machine, who the robot murdered and then posed for Leslie to find.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, the robot is chasing her down the halls. There's a shot where he shoots her in the butt with a laser and she's like, ah!
Yeah, there's plenty of shots of people getting shot in the butt. Like, and it's just like, ow! Like, ow! Maybe somebody poked you a little.
So then she gets shot with the laser. I don't know if it's her, but somebody gets shot with the laser and
same laser.
Her head blows up! Blows up!
Like a grenade was thrown at her face.
Hit in the butt, flesh wound. Hit in the head, explosions of gross masses. Don't understand. Also, there were different colors of lasers throughout the movie.
For different robots.
Is that what it was? Because I kept trying to figure out, I'm like, so do they have different modes of lasers? Like, this is my flesh wound laser.
Yeah, we're going to turn this shit off stun.
And this is my chopping laser.
They had so many opportunities to give these robots, like, great one-liners after somebody gets shot in the face or something,
They
right?
did have that, thank you, what did
have
they say?
Have a nice day.
Thank you, have a nice
if there's one thing I like about cheesy movies, it's where somebody dies and then you have like a Horatio Caine like one-liner to sort of sum up the death. Looks like you won't be something anymore. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so like so somebody is blown up or somebody's on fire. What's the one-liner for that? Barbara Crampton's death, for instance. Barbara Crampton, tragically, gets set on fire.
Oh, it's great, though, because all of a sudden she becomes, like, a six-foot-tall stuntman. And it's just, like, on fire, this, like, huge, muscly, burly thing with blonde hair. And you're like, oh, Barbara. What would my one-liner be as a robot who just murdered a young teenage woman in a locked-down mall? Because she works at the restaurant, so you could have something punny there.
That's a spicy meatball.
No, that's not good.
No, I know it's not good.
You could just have like a cleanup aisle too.
Oh, that would have been great. I would have loved it. There could have been one where he had like a big giant like buzzsaw in his hand and he sliced a girl in half and he's like, cut down in her prime. Like, why would the robot say any of that,
that
though?
That would be good.
I think, thank you, have a nice day is fine.
Yeah, but they just, that was their only thing. All these robots like grouped up together and had their meeting look like, okay, we're going to go sentient later, guys. And we're going to start murdering people just because.
They totally do, though. Like before they kill that first technician, they like they share
they
a glance.
They make eye contact.
What's up
it's
with that?
It's weird. They're right? They like look back at the other robot. Like, I think one of those robots is the boss and the other robots aren't really into murder and they're just being roped in by this one.
There should have been a
robot.
Moment at the end of this movie where that robot was holding a person to throw them over like the railing and he looked back at the robot and the robot was like, do it. Have a nice day.
Oh my God.
And
yes!
He was like, no. And he like put the, he put the human down, like
and
had
he throws
this big
himself
robot
off.
But yes.
And he just like on his little conveyor feet. Just slowly rolls over the edge.
And then he's like a pile of fire and circuit boards like, thank you, have a powering down.
Oh, that poor robot.
Right?
I feel so much for him and he still said that one lame catchphrase. Oh, so many feels.
Could have been good.
So they're supposed to be remaking this movie.
I heard.
Yeah.
And Roger Corman is a producer on it.
The Wikipedia page said as of 2011, and there was no other updates, so I was like,
I mean, hey, the Meg has been in the works since 1997. We're going to get this movie
and
one
look how
day.
Good that was.
Yeah, right? That's totally worth the wait.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it.
I know.
Super awesome.
Woo!
Favorite shark movie of the year.
I ran out of pitches to raise. Okay, so is there anything else that we haven't talked about in regards to the killbots?
Why do they have assault rifles for sale inside the mall?
The same reason they have cans of gasoline for sale inside the mall.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, sure, go ahead and sell yourself, like, an empty jerry can. But, like, gasoline's got a shelf life. And who the fuck is walking into the mall and going, like, ooh, I need myself
gasoline
5 gallons of gasoline.
Gasoline does not have a
shelf life. Yes, it does.
It's made from dinosaurs.
Good point. So the shelf life is 20 million years.
Another point of contention I have is that the very end scene, the final girl who did not have sex with Ferdy.
She sure wanted to.
I know. And then she was like, thank you for being a gentleman.
Yeah, what's up
like,
with that?
I don't understand.
Those are two completely
that
different
last scene,
scenes.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure you guys did it. And then you just like buttoned your shirt up right. And we're like, thank you for being such a gentleman. We're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, so she's final showdown, last robot, her versus robot.
Yep.
She goes to the hardware store and she is just Home Alone style.
Yep.
Like undoing paint cans. Not picking colors that coordinate, I just have to say. And
it's the 80s, Kim. It's all about contrast.
Spilling them on the ground and then paint thinner everywhere. And then she kind of like blows up the robot. And I'm assuming it's because she's using paint thinner, which is like super flammable.
I mean, it is. It's made of petrol.
Well, why waste your time with the paint? Why not just go for paint thinner? Just
because
like,
she needed it to slip around Three Stooges style. I don't know if you remember. This is a complete callback to the beginning of the movie where they refer to them as Three Stooges.
No, he did not. So he did not slip around at all. And also, I just want to say that mall was carpeted. The entire mall was carpeted, all the hallways. And I was like,
such a bad idea.
And so in my head, I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe that's because of the little robots that they built. They're like, they're not good on hard tile.
Yeah.
But then right as I said that... and insulted those poor robots. He did this like 360 three-point turn thing on from the carpet to the tile floor. And I was like, these robots are so competent with their little conveyor belt legs.
Cannot be stopped.
And then they tried to foil him with a little bit of paint on the ground.
I really
and
don't
he
think
was
the paint
not
would have done
having it. I don't know why I'm assuming that these robots are boys. They are killbots. They have no gender.
It's true. I mean,
although they were all voiced by the director, I read. So.
Well, were they?
Yeah.
The other thing that I find hilarious about her final showdown with that last robot is that afterwards she's walking away, sun's out, it's gonna be a nice day, and there's Ferdy.
Yeah, who
he's
we
made
thought
it out
had,
alive.
We thought he died. He was hit with a laser.
But
and
his reply to her is, nice shot. Like, what shot?
What? So you were awake, conscious, and watching during the final showdown, but chose not to help.
Nice guy. Really nice guy. My favorite moment between the two of them, though, is when all the girls are being lifted into the air vent, and, like, right before she goes in, she has a quick look back at Ferdy, and he just nods. Like, don't
like
worry.
Like the robots. Like the fucking robots.
Okay. And then also immediately after
Ferdy
that.
Which means Ferdy is the boss robot of the group.
Oh, my God.
He's head robot.
He's head robot. He's
head teen bot.
He's miles ahead, and we didn't even know. They have evolved so quickly and so fast that we can't tell them apart from the humans.
Except that the robots shoot lasers and have laser eyes and are little claw hands.
I'd say the same thing about teenage boys, but
That's good, John. Nicely done.
Okay. What's your rating of this movie?
So I'm really bad when it comes to good bad.
Yeah.
I'm really...
How do you rate these movies?
I'm so skewed because, one, I have no credibility, and two, this movie was a joy and a pleasure to watch, but
yeah.
It is awful.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna go with the 2 out of 4.
Yeah, I've been wrestling with that myself because...
It's a 4 out of 4 great,
exactly.
And it's a 1 out of 4 terrible.
Yeah, because, I mean, on the scale of good or bad, yeah, it's bad, but, I mean, I'm looking at a scale of good or fun, and fuck, is it fun.
Yeah, it's a great kind of awful.
Exactly, so, unfortunately, 2 out of 4 Eberts is where I sit with this movie.
Like 1,000%.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about the 1989 classic, Death Spa.
Welcome to the health club where you'll sweat blood.
Never work without a spotter, Freddy. Wake falls on your chest and you can really get squashed.
It's the place for a killer workout. An unquiet spirit reaches out from beyond the grave.
Welcome to my party.
For revenge.
I will destroy this place, and I'll kill them all, unless you do as I say.
Death Spa, an exercise in terror.
A fantastic weight reduction program. People get so thin they disappear.
So Death Spa is currently sitting at a 5.1 out of 10 on IMDb, a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Big surprise, Roger Ebert did not review either of these movies.
I really like Death Spa, and upon rewatching it, it is really arduous to watch.
I don't think this is the kind of movie that most people are putting on to really pay attention to it. So when you have to do it for work, it's a job and a half.
But there's something, like, blackout-inducing about the movie because we watched it this year.
Within the year, yeah.
And I remember fucking loving it and just being like, this is insane, la la la. And then when we've been trying to work it onto the podcast, both these movies, onto the podcast for months, and finally we made it happen. Obviously, we're talking about them right now. I don't remember all of the weird supernatural plots. All I remember are the death spa murders. I remember the blender arm. I remember the weight machine explosion.
That's probably the only one I actually remember. Honestly, in my head, I was like, did that happen in this movie, or was that in a installment of Final Destination
movie. This is the early drafts of Final Destination, I swear to God.
That's great.
Yeah. I only remember the kills. I don't remember any of the weird plots. And the plot part of this movie is the best bad thing about the movie. It is like a weird, like, late night Cinemax movie where, you know, like 11.
It could have been even worse.
11 p.m. You're flipping through and then you're like, hey, what is this death spa? I'm going to watch this death spa. But because it's on TV, it's 3 hours long and there's a shit ton of commercials. So you assume that a bunch of the movie's been cut out. And so every time you come back from commercial, you're trying to piece it together.
Yeah, like, oh, this isn't the film's fault. It's the television's
exactly,
problem.
But now it's 2018 and everything's streamable without commercials. And you watch the movie and you realize absolutely nothing was fucking cut out. And this movie just makes no fucking sense. And it's wonderful.
Again, though, B movie. Do not need the why or the how. Just need the what.
No, but the thing about this movie is that they went for the fucking why.
They tried.
They went hard for the why.
It sounds like we had two producers arguing over what was actually killing people or who, and they were like, fuck it, both things.
Yeah, so, okay, multiple times when we watched this, I was like, John, is he possessed? Is he crazy? Is he just Norman Batesing it, or is he actually possessed by his dead twin sister? Or is his dead twin sister not dead and alive and just walking around the mall? Or gym?
Yep. Maybe the gym's in a mall, right?
It's not.
Well, I mean, maybe that exterior shot that we keep seeing was the back half of the mall.
Can we just talk about that sign? So I fucking love the intro. I loved how they did the title cards with, like, the neon sign flashing out.
I'm kind of a sucker for any neon sign, like, where the lights break and it reveals a different message.
I love, too, when your title is physically in your movie and not an overlay. I really like that.
I mean, I'm nuts about a good title card, but yeah.
But did it not say the spa body health spa?
I'm with you.
They kept calling it Star Body,
and
we
were
like
no,
I did
spa
not,
body
I
health
did,
spa.
Yeah, I was like, I saw spa twice.
Yeah, watching it on our office television, I swear to God, it said spa body health spa.
I just, like, for this spa, the whole thing about this spa is that it's this, like, super advanced supercomputer spa.
Yeah,
and everything's run by this central computer. If you're a really advanced spa, why do you have a generic fucking name like Spa Body Health Spa?
Yeah, it should be Spa of the Future.
Or like Future Spa 2000.
Yeah, fuck your other spa. I would go...
Something about the spa being run by a computer should be in the title.
Also, maybe call it a gym, given that the majority of it's a gym.
It's
they
not
have
a spa! They
not
have
at
a
all.
One sauna room that murders people, and that's it.
They have a smoothie bar and a sauna. That's it. Oh, yeah, and the tanning bed. There's also a tanning bed. Can we just, like, can I ask this question? Because this appears in a lot of horror movies. How fucking long would it take to die in a tanning bed?
Well, if you have a ghost / psychologically impaired male.
Sure.
Paranormally affecting it.
A lot of commas here.
It sounds like a long time because she did not get injured.
Okay. I don't know that tanning beds are ever manufactured to go above a moderate level of tanning.
But also, I would like to bring to the table the evidence of Final Destination 3,
uh-huh,
which is surely medically accurate.
Of course. That was the tagline of the movie.
Study. We went to doctors and found out tanning beds can't kill. I don't know why.
But how long did that take? How long?
I don't know. They have dials drawn. I'm sure they go up to 4,000 degrees or something.
Of course. And if they
I'd like to cook my Eggo waffle on this. Hey, Kim, would you like those little goggles today? Like, no, thank you. I'm just here to cook my Eggos.
I'm here for lunch. I mean, if that were the case, is that where they cook the continental breakfast at every shitty hotel we've ever been to?
Instead of buying, like, several toasters, they just buy one
tanning
bed?
That way they can do, like, an entire Costco box of Eggos in one shot.
Does Costco sell Eggos?
I assume.
By the way, if you guys like waffles that come from the freezer, there's a pumpkin spice waffle right now.
There is.
In the natural food section.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of expensive.
Got it.
But they're so good.
And they're done.
Pumpkin spice. Okay, so cold open. It's not cold because we have that spa body health spa title card thing. But there's this like long, sweeping, like really atmospheric shot where
they
we
want us to know everything about this
gym. Spa. Yeah, sorry, the gym. I don't know why I keep calling it
Let's
a spa.
Let's call it a spa.
But there's like dancing and all kinds of stuff. And then so we single in on this like cool blonde dancer. She's just like killing it.
Yeah, she's dancer-sizing at midnight.
She is dancing the night away. And so she decides, you know, I'm just going to chill in the sauna, you know, the way that all women chill in the sauna, laying down and posed and almost masturbating.
Yeah. Common practice, of course.
For MPAA ratings, though, I'm not actually going to touch myself. I'm just going to touch myself.
Close-up shots of me sweating. And the awkward half-open mouth. And then boom, all of a sudden, steam. But it's not steam, it's chlorine.
Chlorine steam. I don't know the science. Like, I'm not going to try to dissect this and be like, can chlorine steam? I'm not going to say that, even though I just said that.
But I'm sure it can, right?
I'm just going to assume that there's no science involved in this movie.
I mean, everything on the periodic table has a burning point, even oxygen. So surely to God, chlorine can steam. First of all, we know that chlorine gas is a thing. So, yeah.
We do know that.
Yeah, exactly.
All of us. Everyone present today.
We all had history class. We all know that World War I happened, you know, unless you read the real history books.
I thought that was mustard.
There's mustard gas and chlorine gas.
Is it made from the same mustard that is delicious?
Yes.
We should stop. We should stop this now.
But the point is, he goes to pick her up from the hospital, and they're like, oh, yes, she's got burns all over her body or something.
Her eyes.
Yeah, I mean, she's got no clothing on whatsoever, so every part of her is completely exposed to the chlorine vapors, which, P.S., if it's vapors, means it's in the air and she's breathing it in, she would totally die the way
you
would.
So her lungs should be first-degree burnt.
First-degree dead. Like, third-degree dead. She's not making it out of there.
New B-movie needs to be called First-Degree Dead.
I'm with you on this one. And we don't go third-degree dead first one. Because
that's your third one.
Exactly. You got to work your way up to that.
Yeah.
And nobody wants like a prequel. You don't. You
SPF
can't,
oh, dead wait a minute, will be though. Your tagline.
Oh, I'm with you. But here's the thing. Let's say we started with third degree dead. You could go second degree dead, first degree dead. And then it just sounds like you are fucking counting down to the most absurd movie that
dead.
Has ever been released. Yeah, just dead. And she should not have survived. Wrapping it back around. What really got her, though, not the chlorine gas, was breaking the window with her hand.
Yeah, I thought she was going to get out. So the door was locked. And so she was like, you know what? I'm going to do what you do. You break the front window and then you unlock the door from outside. She broke the window and then just collapsed dramatically inside the steam room.
Yeah. I mean, sure, maybe, like, let's assume that the chlorine gas has gotten to her, and in her final moments, she broke the glass. She would have been fine. And I guess she is. I guess she survives. Because at that point, you're introducing oxygen. You've got a way for the chlorine to get out. I'm looking into this a little too much. Point is, when he goes to pick her up at the hospital, she's got zero burns on her body, but some bandages on her eyes.
Yeah. There's a lot. So the one thing this movie
P.S.,
is really...
sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. He picks her up from the burn ward and all she has is two small bandages on her eyes.
So
there's no way there isn't a guy who's got like a full body cast in that same ward going, faker.
Oh.
Phony.
Everyone's burn is their own, John.
Okay.
Everyone experiences their burns differently.
We're all on our own path. The road to recovery is long and we all start at different lengths.
Oh. Yeah, the one thing this film is short on is, like, explanations. So, this spa is run by a supercomputer, which we learn because there's a supercomputer room. But nobody really explains what the limitations and the control, like, the point of the supercomputer is.
Mm-hmm.
What does the supercomputer do? Eventually, we learn that it's like an automated tool for the gym patrons. They have cards, and they swipe their card, and it remembers what they've calibrated each of the machines to. Like, it's personalized for each of them because that one, like, gym bro swipes his card and they're like, 150 pounds. And then I don't know why I made it a computer or, like, a British computer, but that sounded appropriate. And then he dies that way.
Because it keeps increasing in weight. And For whatever reason, crushes his ribs at some point.
So after love interest, Laura gets the old spa burns in the sauna, the police visit, the detective and the sergeant come and they're like, rah, 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 spa.
You call this coffee? Wah.
Yeah. Why was that there? Why did he bitch about the coffee?
Maybe the computer made the coffee and the computer knew.
This computer is faulty. Schmack. But then there's another scene where there's some, I don't know who's important in this movie or not, because everybody looks the fucking same. So one girl's going diving, and Ken Forey set up a new diving board for her.
Did he set the board up?
I swear he was, there was like this funny weightlifting scene. He's like, I set up the new diving board. And she's like, great, I'm going to try it out later today.
Yeah.
And then when she goes to try it out, she's on the diving board, and then
like a
mysteriously a bolt just starts unscrewing. And at this point, we know nothing about the computer. So I'm like, well, how is this the computer? How is the computer doing this?
Yeah, why are the bolts part of the computer system? It's like that Y2K episode of The Simpsons where you like, oh my God, there's a computer chip in the milk. Like everything's got a computer in it.
Yeah, and so you're just like, the people making this had no understanding of computers at all. That's why they don't ever address what the computer does, because they don't know what computers are. But then you realize that this movie is a paranormal movie.
Yeah.
But they never go to lengths to make it ambiguous as to, like, is this paranormal? Is this guy crazy? Or is the computer doing everything? Because they show their cards at the beginning, but they don't explain it well. So it's just confusing.
Yeah, and it's not like it gets any better either. There's a bunch of girls taking a shower and tiles start to fly off of the goddamn wall. And it's like, we are getting further and further away from the computer being able to control some stuff. Sure, okay, computer can control the temperature of those showers. But obviously, like, oh, too hot, the girls are just going to leave. They're not going to stand around and get burned to death. Yeah.
Yeah, and then one girl gets stabbed in the locker room and, like, hung in the locker. And
who hides her body? Not the computer, I can tell you that much.
The computer.
Yeah.
And also, too, there's no, like, red herring in this movie, because they accuse So the guy running the computer is the lead guy.
Former brother-in-law.
Is his former brother-in-law. And then the cop is like, why former? And he's like, it's my wife's brother. He's like,
yeah,
she's dead. So she's dead, and then you got divorced, or
yeah, like, I'd like to divorce this corpse, please.
Yeah,
she's gross now.
She doesn't make dinner like she used to. Still your brother-in-law.
Very much.
And so one of my favorite scenes, though, is when we are first introduced to the computer room and the computer brother-in-law, the ex-computer brother-in-law.
Yep.
And he has this moment where he's like, I look a lot like my sister because we're twins and all.
We had thoughts that you would never understand.
To her husband. Like, I'm pretty sure he knew you were twins.
Yeah.
He can look at their wedding photos every day and see you standing there looking exactly like her. They don't look anything alike.
They don't look anything alike.
Not at all.
Not at all. P.S. I was just thinking that if they remade this movie, Vin Diesel would totally be the guy running the gym. And the only change they would make of this entire movie is his opinion of family. Like, he's still my brother-in-law because family's forever. Like, that would be the whole
movie. No, I want
him
to be the computer guy. And then when he's possessed by the spirit of Catherine, he just puts a blonde wig on.
Oh, that's so perfect because he's super bald and he's into Dungeons and Dragons and role-playing.
I would pay good money to see Vin Diesel in a wig. I'm trying to think who dies next. So there's these girls that almost died in the steam or in the showers.
Yep.
And then Michael's like, I'm going to give you complimentary spa passes.
To my bedroom.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
They're just like, how are you going to take care of both of us, Michael? He's like, I'm sure I could have fun figuring it out. And they're both like, yeah, because no one involved in writing this story had any common sense.
Oh my God. So there's also this side plot where he's got partners. So there's a female partner and another male partner who also looks a lot like the lead character, Michael. And I did not realize that there were three partners. I thought there were two partners until the end of the movie where he accuses them of trying to flush him out with all these chlorine in the steam room tricks.
Okay. So this is...
They're the ones doing the chlorine. It's not the ghost. The ghost is just taking advantage of the other people trying to fuck things up. The ghost did was like, I'm going to lock the door.
Is that it?
That's it.
Because I thought
they put the chlorine in the steam.
Honestly, I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was like, oh, there's a bunch of ghost problems. Let's also get in here and make it super hot. And then no one will be happy and we can force them out. Why? I don't understand their endgame. We want to make you seem incompetent so we can buy out your partnership, which would literally cost us a whole ton of money while we're putting our business into the ground. We're going to make our business look super dangerous. Nobody's going to want to be here. But somehow, the third step is money?
Yeah, well, because also, too, the other guy was the one that was super invested in the supercomputer because Michael wanted
to... The other business partner.
Yes. So Michael wanted to turn... I think his name is Michael. Yes. So Michael wanted to turn the supercomputer off and his partner was like, no, blah, blah, blah. And...
You turn that computer off. It's the only thing unique about this building.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. But so he's trying to get rid of Michael. Ken, I think it's Ken, the computer guy.
David.
David, his ex-brother-in-law, they are the ones that have the ties together, even though they're not close. So if he gets rid of Michael, he gets rid of his connection to the supercomputer. Like, it just doesn't make sense. He wants a spa with a supercomputer, I assume.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want the computer to be turned off. Like, it doesn't make any sense why he's getting rid of Michael.
Not at all. Like, people are getting hurt, and it's definitely the computer's fault. And he's like, nope, can't turn off the computer. Nope, not a bad business move.
Also, while people are getting... So I don't know if they're getting murdered at this point, but they're definitely being attacked by this evil spa.
Mm-hmm.
The head guy, Michael, who is our... protagonist is just like dicking around with Ken Forey. Like they're just having like boys games. Like,
they're playing around in the pool.
Yeah, and they play football in the office and they start throwing the ball. And
just like across the desk because, you know, and boys.
Either, yeah, and they're talking about his girlfriend who has no eyes.
Yeah, like they're palling around inside the pool. They're like, first one to the overside wins. Like, okay. And then he dunks his head under the water.
Yeah.
And then when he comes up, hey, by the way, so I think I saw Marion over by the diving board. Like, really? Yeah, I should probably talk to her about it. But, you know, while we're waiting, let's swim.
Yeah, who could be the one doing the attempted murders?
Oh, man. Ken Forey is really underutilized in this movie because one, I mean, he didn't kick any ass and he didn't die. He could have done both of those things great and they didn't even give him the opportunity. Instead, they gave him a windbreaker that made it look like he had a towel draped over his neck the entire movie, and it really was confusing for me, because I was like, why does he have a towel around his neck if he's wearing a jacket?
I liked his genie costume.
Yeah, so they're having some sort of...
masquerade.
What is it?
Where people wear whatever fuck costume they want.
Nobody's dressed for Mardi Gras.
There was a bumblebee.
There wasn't even a bead in sight.
There was a pirate.
And despite the fact that Michael is running into the spa at this point to find his murderous brother-in-law, he had time to put on his jester outfit.
Yeah, so he's... So he goes to his brother-in-law's house, apartment, whatever.
It looks like the Silence of the Lambs in his bedroom.
Yeah, they find the murderer's lair. Complete with wheelchair because his wife was paralyzed.
Yeah, he kept the wheelchair that his wife committed suicide in.
But so I just have to say that those are the best police officers ever because they put out an APB for a man in drag. And I was like, oh, it's a man in drag. Because what I gathered from this was that there were two people living here and that Catherine isn't dead. I was not able to jump all those conclusions until you revealed that fact for me. And then cut to the Mardi Gras party where Michael arrives in style. Everything is fucking fine.
Party's in full swing.
Also, his girlfriend doesn't have eye patches on anymore.
No.
I didn't recognize her in her tanning bed death spa because
her only characteristic is
no eyes.
But yeah, he's walking around, he's laughing, he's having a great time. Like, oh, I'll catch up with you in a minute. I gotta go stop someone from murdering you. Give me a few minutes. It's bizarre.
Ending of this movie is fucking bonkers. We could just end the podcast now because the movie doesn't end.
The movie's really weird.
So there's a bunch of scenes where...
I don't know if the bad guy wins at the end of this movie.
The brother-in-law is also Catherine. And they're like intercut between the two. So there's an actual woman playing Catherine mm-hmm. who's at the supercomputer just like fucking shit up for people really conveniently where no one else can see. Because the party just keeps on raging.
Yeah.
Like, she murders people in really like hidden spots. Not really though, because they're in the center of the party.
She drags this girl through the party to the tanning room to rig her up for death.
Yeah, and then Ken Forey breaks down the door and there's literally shots of her standing in that room where you can see partygoers dancing and she's in the shot. And you're like, guys, there's a ghost over there.
Also, at some point, half the place is on fire where the party's like, it's getting hot in here.
Let's not try to find the exits.
Exactly. Also, before we even get to the party, there are two other mysterious deaths that no one comments on.
There's mysterious deaths?
Somebody gives that one girl a note, says, hey, meet me in the basement, follow this map. P.S. It's Michael. Don't be alarmed. And she's like, ooh, super, gotta hide this note, can't let anybody else see it. Gets down to the basement, and then it just starts raining chlorine on her, and she gets dissolved into a bloody mess.
Oh my god, and then the parapsychologist dies.
Yeah, the parapsychologist with, like, that food testing thermometer, and that's got LED lights on the end of it, is just like, I don't know, my paranormal wand says there's no ghosts here, until he's attacked by one, and his only recourse for defense is the gun that he brought with him.
His whole character, I do not understand. So at some point, Michael goes to see a parapsychologist, and he doesn't believe him, and he's really defensive about it. And then all of a sudden, he's like, you should let me, like, be a private investigator, and I'll come by at night, and
Oh, yeah,
look.
That sounds great. I'll just let you in completely, like,
I turned off the security system, so you have free reign. And you're like, you didn't believe him when he was talking about ghosts, and now you're letting him ghost hunt in your house.
He also pretends as though this parapsychologist showed up at his door and said, hey, I can.
Yeah, because he's like, what do you mean? That could just be whatever.
What does this mean for me? I don't understand what this has to do with anything I'm talking about.
Like, Michael, bro, you're in his office and you had an appointment.
Yeah, you hired this guy because you said, hey, he might help me.
Oh my god.
And the cops are tailing Michael for some reason?
Because he's obviously a ghost.
I guess
at the death spot.
I guess they just assume that Michael is technically a suspect. People died in his building, so surely he might have something to do with it.
There's also a bunch of scenes. So Michael is, like, still trying to run the spa, and then his girlfriend, his current girlfriend, who has the old eye patches on, mm-hmm. is living in his house, and computer guy comes over to, like, be really creepy, and nothing else.
Yeah,
he's creepy for way too long to just let her sleep and leave the building.
Yeah, he shows up, says he's gonna fix the computer, and instead just kind of intimidates her with
and
a
just stands
screwdriver?
Like really close to her, yeah. Because she's, like, blind and can't be intimidated any other way. And then somebody comes to drop off groceries. And then he, like, stands all creepy in the window while she leaves, like, smacking a screwdriver in his hand all ominously. And you're like, yeah, you're definitely going to murder this girl. And then we cut. Michael's coming home, and his girlfriend is just sleeping on the couch. Well, I don't even believe that he's possessed.
No?
I know that's what it is.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. I guess, but I don't. I thought, you know what, it would have been better for the movie that they made for Catherine to just have been alive.
That would have been great.
For us to think he was possessed, and
that's
then
what
for
they,
her to be like, ha, joke's on you, fuckers, like, I didn't burn.
I'm ugly and I've got a grudge now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been all right. Because
and now
she...
I'm going to kill all the people who are, like, bettering themselves. Because...
That, honestly, it should have been that way, because in one of those flashbacks, we see that she's in a wheelchair because of something that happened during childbirth, right?
I don't think it was childbirth. I think it was pregnancy, because they don't have a kid.
I was getting there too, right? Like, this guy does not seem like he's upset over the fact that his wife and unborn child died in labor. But yeah, you're right. It looks like she just killed herself while she was pregnant. Because she was in a wheelchair, but in one of those flashbacks, we see her stand up while she's on fire.
I was going to say that. So she,
surely she's alive.
She kills herself by, like, dousing herself in gasoline and lighting herself on fire on the roof of their house.
Immolation.
Which she still lives in, by the yep. way. Kind of weird. Especially when you invite your girlfriend to live with you less than a year later. Like, bro. She totally stands up. That is an insult to paralyzed people everywhere, that, like, you can just light them on fire and they'll just stand up.
Oh, yeah, no, they can all stand. They just don't want to.
Excruciating pain can cause standing.
Yeah, they're not paralyzed. They're
I totally thought she was faking, though. Like, I thought she walked out of that and was like, ha-ha!
See, that's the problem with this movie. It sets us up to believe that she's still alive, and then it sets us up to think that the brother is having some sort of psychotic episode.
And they have sex in his psychotic episodes.
I don't know if they do.
We can't do this anymore. And there were, like, underwear and stuff everywhere. It was really
it's trying to make us think a ton of different things.
It was incestuous.
And then we realize that, oh yeah, no, he's definitely having... He's whether it's supernatural or not, he's involved with his sister, and it's this plan that he's he doesn't want to go along with. Like, he is also a victim in this entire scheme. Until we have shots where he's literally become her, and it's just some sort of weird possession story.
But it's... So he's being possessed by her, but other people see her.
Here's the thing. Is
other people. Michael sees her.
Some
partygoer sees her, and she takes off her, like, nightgown thing, and he's like, oh, I guess you could stay here. It's fine. Like, they're all seeing a woman. That's not how possession works. Like, I know possession doesn't work at all, for real, but you don't just transform into another person. Like, he should look like a woman in a wig. He should look like a man in a wig.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense!
Well, but the thing is, like, all of those ideas converge on each other at the end of this movie, because to defeat her and to stop her evil plan
of killing everybody in the spa burns down.
Yeah, he shorts out the computer with, like, a shoe or something? Like, oh, I think he uses the shoes as because the rubber soles, so he doesn't get electrocuted himself, to short out the wires in the utility room, which causes her to catch on fire and explode. But here's she's not the computer. She's just got access to the computer because of ghosty powers.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And there's a great line at the end of the movie, too, where he's got his girlfriend and life is good, I guess. Like, he's finally, like...
The spa's on fire and they're still in it.
The spa's on fire. There's everybody around them's dying.
Exits are locked, I think.
But they've still got time to go and check and see what's going on over here. It's like, come with me, David. We'll die together and live in hell. And it's like, bitch, you are the worst salesperson ever. Nobody is taking your hand in that offer.
It's a lot of fun. Like, why are you murdering people in a health spa? It can't be that fun.
It looks like shit. It looks like an awful existence for eternity. I would rather get a high five from fucking Pinhead and Hellraiser than spend 10 minutes with her, because it looks awful.
But if he thought she was so evil, like, if he didn't like her and she was, like, a really shitty wife, why does he still have her picture on his desk? Why is she his password to get into the evil computer spa?
Oh, can we talk about that computer for a second?
We sure can.
Yeah.
What would you like to say about the computer?
I don't know if it's necessarily that it's the 80s and people were like, well, I mean, like, surely these computers are going to have personalities. We're going to have to talk to them someday. But when he goes in to unlock, like, all of the entire system, he types in, please access master lock system. Like, you don't have to type in please when you're giving a computer command.
I don't know. That computer is murdering people. So maybe he's going to remember who was nice to him.
You're probably right. Yeah.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, if it was a ghost doing all of this, why were there a whole bunch of scenes where the computer's cameras were, like, zooming in and turning on people, like, right when they were about to die? Was that just the ghost, like, yes, I'm gonna watch this murder through the computer and it's gonna be great?
I think so. I mean, like, if the eyes are the window to the soul, I think the computer lens are the eyes to a demon.
She's right. Got paranormal powers, though. She walks past the computer and just, like, turns it on with the wave of an arm. Like, I'm pretty sure she doesn't need the computer at all.
It doesn't sound like she does. And especially given that she exists outside of the gym because she's possessing her brother at his house. I don't understand the computer aspect of it. It seems like the computer, like, the computer is just the gun that she's using to kill people with, right?
Sometimes. The diving board, John. What does that have to do with the computer?
It's... I don't know. Because she goes from trying to murder somebody in a sauna room to just menacing somebody on a diving board. Nobody's gonna die. She, like, stole somebody's jump on a trampoline, basically.
That's the equivalent of somebody going skinny dipping and then you take their shorts.
Fucking ghosts. Just, like, ruining everybody's goddamn
time. Menaces to society.
And, you know, then the movie ends. That's it.
Like, it does. It ends. Everybody's still stuck in the fire.
Yeah, like, they electrocute her. She catches on fire. She blows up at some point. They come in to make sure that she's super dead. And when
the cop shoots her a bunch.
Yeah, the cop shoots her corpse. And as they all leave, she's like, no, I can totally, I still have the energy for one
David!
Last kill. And then her eyeball explodes and she's like, oh no. My one weakness, and falls to the ground, credits. But, like...
Everyone's still in the spa!
Yeah, nobody escapes. And, like, the ending shots are all of people who are desperately trying to get out through a window or some sort of exit, but are trapped and dead and just burnt asunder.
Yeah, so I get it. You didn't shoot, like, a shot of them all in the parking lot, like, making it to the safe zone.
I needed that high five at the end.
You could have just had some fucking sirens in the distance. Some, like,
that would have been good.
The fire department's coming.
Like, and everybody
something.
Just like, oh, good.
Something.
Anything. We didn't even talk about the cop who died in, like, that fishy freezer of death.
Yeah, or like the blender hand, but like how can you get to it all? There's just too much.
Yeah, why does that girl, like, so the blender stops working constantly.
None of it makes sense, John.
She jams her hand in that blender more than once in this movie. She's like, oh, better figure out what's going on down here. Like, no. Rule number one with
blenders.
Where
is the lid?
No hands. Never put your hand in a blender. Most blenders won't even work if you don't have the, like, a lid on top of it. Wait, what? No. That's not a thing.
That's a thing that should happen, but it's not a true thing.
Yeah, like our milk frother won't work if the lid's not on it, but no, the blender, totally fine. Like, you want to stick your hand in these blades? Go for it. I mean, like, it could be a good smoothie. We're all on that carnivore diet, right?
Are you talking about eating your own hand?
Yeah.
That's a cannibal diet.
Sure. You don't think the caveman weren't eating each other occasionally?
Not on purpose.
By accident?
Yeah, like Jimmy falls in the fire, the buffalo's there, you never know.
Okay, I think we're done. what's your rating of Death Spa?
2 out of 4.
I'm gonna go a little lower on this one. I don't think this one deserves as much respect.
I think Death Spa is marginally better than Chopping Mall.
Oh, it's so weird. Yeah, I mean, like, is it quality-wise?
It makes less sense.
It makes a lot less sense. It's not nearly as... It doesn't have... I mean,
and there's,
like, not
ghosts!
Not that Chopping Mall is, like, Star Wars or anything, but... I think it's got ghosts. Yeah, I'll give it a 2 out of 4. 2 out of 4 Eberts certified. Because, no, it's not good. In no measure of anybody's system is it actually good. But it's a lot of fun.
Also, alternate title of this movie is Witch Bitch.
I mean, that makes way more sense.
So if I went to go to the theater to see a movie called Witch Bitch, and then it was about a computer spa, I would have been even more confused than I am with a death spa movie with an evil woman ghost in it.
I disagree. I think if it was called Witch Bitch, when we get to that diving board bolt unscrewing, like, ah, Witch Bitch is at it again, all right.
Yeah, but wouldn't you not have been so... non-phased by all those weird scenes with the brother, like, shaving his legs and, like, laughing maniacally in his makeup mirror?
Yeah, I guess
he would have
so.
Known what it all meant.
Yeah.
That was his, like, I'd fuck me scene.
Yeah. A few years ahead of its time, too, but...
Very, very true.
Yeah, it's not great. I do think Death Spa is a better title. I would, if I was going to the movies and I could choose between Death Spa or Witch Bitch, and they were two separate movies.
I would see both of those movies.
Well, duh, but I mean, which one are you seeing first? Death Spa.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't feel, is she a witch? Is that the answer? That she was a witch alive and now she's a witch dead?
And the only way she was able to gain powers is if she killed herself and her unborn child in a fire?
Mm.
Oh, we need a prequel.
We needed a flashback.
We got a ton of flashbacks.
Not just of her dying, though. Like, incinerating. I needed some of her being a witch and a bitch.
Yeah.
I didn't know Catherine was bad until she was murdering people as a ghost. Maybe she was a nice lady. Maybe it's because he cheated on her with all the girls at the spa.
There should have been way more of that.
It seemed like he was a philanderer.
Yep, there should have been a lot more of that discussion.
I'm not saying that, like, your husband philandering is, like, an excuse to start murdering people, but, you know...
It would have made for a good movie, at least.
She was after the girls, though. Like, she didn't really directly go for Michael. She wanted Michael to choose to die and be with her, but she was going after all his girlfriends.
I don't understand what any of her motivation was, because, like, I needed at least scenes where we knew that he was trying to sleep with those girls while they were still married, or actually did.
Yeah, I don't know if he was just being business flirty. Like, please don't sue me because my my spa ghost tried to murder you in the shower.
It seems like an awful way to go about doing it.
Not in the 80s.
No, the 80s, that was a carefree time where everybody just had too much cocaine to actually have real problems. Okay, so 2 out of 4 from both of us on both of these movies, because neither of them are good, but they're a hell of a lot of fun. Let us know what you thought of Death Spa and Chopping Mall. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, at our Facebook group, which you can find at facebook.com/groups/horrorfiendsofnofs.
We are controlling transmission.
Yee-hoo! Have a trouble with a lemon?
This week's episode of Nightmare on Film Street is brought to you by Deadly Grounds, coffee to die for. Made from 100% Arabica beans, Deadly Grounds is horror-themed gourmet coffee without any fancy names or titles. This week's blend is the autumn classic, Pumpkin Spice. Whether or not you've been a Gourd Boy or Ghoul, this fall favorite is perfect for sweater weather and Halloween hijinks. Head over to GetDeadly.ca to pick out your brew and use the promo code NIGHTMARE to get 15% off your entire purchase at checkout. That's GetDeadly.ca and promo code NIGHTMARE. And if you want to support the show on Patreon, we're going to head over there and record a little bonus episode that I am calling Paranormal or Processor. Ooh. And I'm going to name a whole bunch of computer-themed movies from the 80s and 90s before we understood what computers were.
Yep.
And John has to guess whether they are paranormal or if they are just computers gone awry.
I like this.
It's going to be fun. If you want to support the show or if you're already supporting the show, head to patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet to check out that bonus episode. We'll be back at you again in 2 Thursdays from now with another regularly scheduled episode. If you aren't already subscribed, find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and all the other podcast apps. And be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps us get the show in front of more fiends.
But that's it for us this week. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. Just long enough to tell the tale of the Nightmare on Film Street. Ow! Help us grow the horde. Leave a review on iTunes or wherever you subscribe. Continue this week's conversation on Twitter by following at NOFS Podcast. And as always, more terror can be found lurking on our website, www.NightmareOnFilmStreetPodcast.com. Until next week, stay creepy, fiends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.